Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mom to Mom Radio Show, your time of encouragement, mom to mom. I'm Cindy Rushton, your hostess. We have a great show planned for you today. You want to see our show notes? We'll see them on our website at www.momtomomradioshow.com. And while you're online, drop by our website at www.cindyrushton.com. Ready for a new show? Well, grab a big cup of tea, settle in for a bit. It is now time for another Mom to Mom Radio Show. Well, good morning. This is Cindy Rustin, your hostess for Mom to Mom Radio Show, and I want to welcome you this morning. We have a slight change of schedule, which I must apologize for. We have rescheduled our speaker from Fireproof. We're going to interview Kevin Bevel next Tuesday, same time, same place. But I am very, very sorry for that change in schedule. However, guess what? We do have a full show today. I'm going to be teaching you from my topic, A Wise Woman Builds Her Home. And, you guys, I think you're going to enjoy this, and I pray that it blesses you richly, and it'll actually prepare us for next week's session. Another thing that I want to make a note of is this afternoon. Join me at our page at Ultimate Women's Expo here at Blog Talk Radio. We will be having we are really excited to be able to host the Ultimate Women's Expo this year online. It's totally free for you to attend live. If you want to grab a set, you can grab the set and actually have every single session to download by audio as of January 29th. Plus, we'll have a whole expo weekend that weekend. This afternoon, I think it's kind of timely that I had a curveball this morning in my scheduling because guess what? That's what I'm going to be speaking on this afternoon at the Ultimate Women's Expo, and I'll be speaking on that. How to deal with life's curveballs. And you know what? We have them all around. Well, anyway, let me dig into today's topic. But before I do, I just want to welcome you, and I want to thank you for tuning in and for making Mom to Mom Radio Show what it is. I am so glad to be here at Blog Talk Radio. What a blessing that is. I am so tickled to be able to have the chat room and to be able to have the switchboard. And by the way, speaking about the switchboard, go ahead, Elizabeth. Speaking about the switchboard, you can actually call in during the after this program is over to chat, and we can chat mom to mom. I love it, love it, love it. And then just to give you that number ahead of time, it's 347-215-7321. You can either give feedback, you can just do a shout out, or you can give some ideas that you may have. Well, anyway, let's dig into our topic this morning. It is A Wise Woman Builds Her Home. I want to ask you this morning, what are you building? I mean, you know, life is so daily, but can I tell you that there is so much more than just getting by or just living and surviving? There's so much more. There's so much more beyond the bills, the stuff, the mundane, the chores, the to-dos. There is so much more. You are building a legacy. Yes. Does that sound deep? Does that sound intimidating? For many of us, it does. But I want to ask you today to really think about that. You may say, me, build a legacy? Yes, we all build a legacy. Turn with me real quick to Proverbs 14:1. This passage really blows me away, and this one actually, I'll be honest, intimidates me. There's times whenever I look at the words, and I'm a word person, when I look at the words, it intimidates me to see what it says here, and it says that the wise woman builds her home, but the foolish one tears it down with her own hands. Builds her home. And it's got the word wise in there. That's a little intimidating. But, yes, we are all building. We are all building a legacy. Eve, what was her legacy? You know, when I think about Eve, I think about actually sin. I hate to say it. You see, legacies are not just all peachy keen and wonderful and all on target. Sometimes we miss it. And you know what? When we miss it, that can become part of our legacy. Hopefully, we will be the wise woman who will build our home and we won't tear it down with our own hands. But the reality is that some do build a legacy, and their legacies that go before them are not the very best story, are they? Like Eve. What about Rachel and Leah? I mean, I do think about how they had a wonderfully large, amazing family, but also I think about their strife, and I think about some of the problems that happened in their family that I sure don't want in my family. Even Rebecca. Although Rebecca began her marriage, I believe, being the ideal daughter-in-law, when I look at her, she amazes me because I mean, she was willing, get this, go back to the very beginning when Abraham's servant is going to look for a wife for Isaac. And I do think it's kind of funny. He's 40 years old. I can almost imagine, you know, Abraham is old and he's not able to go and help the poor kid or guy. He's 40 years old, for heaven's sake. So he sends his servant back to their home country to look for a wife for Isaac. And he had this basic shopping list, which I think is kind of interesting and kind of funny. But what he was looking for was a girl who would offer to water all the camels. Now, I don't think that they would have picked me. As a matter of fact, I doubt it. I really fuss and grumble about having to feed all the pets now that the kids have grown up. And I love my pets, but, I mean, I grumble. I do. I'm being honest. I grumble and fuss, and it's just so inconvenient to have to go outside when it's so cold and water and feed the puppies. And then I think, oh, the poor little things, they can't do it on their own. Well, look at this. I mean, Abraham's servant was a strapping guy. I mean, he is obviously able to make the trip. He is able to be Abraham's servant. So I really can't imagine that he wouldn't be pretty strapping. And here he's asking a young lady to help him water the camels. That's got to be a pretty special gal. But to me, what makes her even more special is her willingness to leave sight unseen. She's not seen Isaac to know if he's a dud. She hasn't got Facebook. That's for Elizabeth. She hasn't got Facebook to check out all the family pictures. She, as a matter of fact, doesn't even have a scrapbook to look at the dude. She is going literally by faith. By faith. Now, whenever we look at her, I mean, I'm thinking about what it took for a young girl, to follow, to go, and wow, that's amazing. That is a legacy we could definitely learn from. But also, you know, Rebecca kind of messed up. Yeah, a wise woman builds her home, but the foolish one tears it down with her own hands. Oh, yeah. Jezebel. Yo, even Jezebel had a legacy. Think about it. All of us, when we think of Jezebel, what do we think about? We think about the evil woman. We think of the demise that came to her because she literally had a stiff-necked approach to godliness. She didn't want anything to do with it. She was the epitome of the evil woman. That is her legacy that goes on before her. But you know what? That is not the only legacy that we have. That's not the only choices. And praise God that Jesus covers us by his blood and that he offers us a new beginning. He offers us the chance to build a godly legacy. That's the call we have before us. And I love how in Proverbs 14:1 it says that the wise woman builds her home, but the foolish one tears it down with her own hands. That means there is a choice in the matter. There's a choice daily. Oh, yes, there's a choice daily. We have a daily choice of how we will build our home. What kind of a legacy will go on before us? I love other women in the Word, like Lois and Eunice. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, let's turn there real quick. I just want to read this to you because, to me, this is what I would love, love, love for my family to be able to say about my children and my grandchildren. I would love for them, for people to be able to say, hey, that you know that faith, that that is in Timothy, that it was first. Oh, let me turn there. Let me just read it to you because this is sweet. 1 Timothy, and yeah, we're live, you guys. Oh, we had a scheduling curveball, and we will have the program that was scheduled for today will be next week. So you guys are stuck with me, and I'm so sorry about that. But I'm not sorry about that because I believe God has a word for us. But anyway, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and listen to this. This is what I would love to be said about me. It says here that, here we go. Every time I say your name in prayer, which is practically all the time, I thank God for you. The God I worship with my whole life in the tradition of my ancestors, I miss you a lot, especially when I remember the last cheerful goodbye and I look forward to the joy-packed reunion. That precious memory triggers another, your honest faith. I love how the New American Standard calls it your sincere faith. Your sincere faith. That means that there's no pretenses. That means it's authentic. It means it's real. It means it's something that can be passed on that other people want. That it's a contagious faith that others want. But it says a sincere faith. But that your honest faith, and what a rich faith it is, handed down from your grandmother Lois to your mother Eunice and now to you. And the special gift of ministry you received when I laid hands on you and prayed, keep that ablaze. God doesn't want us to be shy with his gifts, but bold, loving, and sensible. You know what? This is a gift that we give to those who come before us, beyond us, the ones that come after us. This is a legacy that we can pass on. And we can pass on whatever, what we're choosing, that we pass on what we choose. I choose sincere faith. What about you? Oh, yeah. What about the Proverbs 31 woman? Does that scripture intimidate you? But, wow. You know, I know a lot of people say, oh, that couldn't be a real woman. However, let me just tell you that I remember sitting at the funeral of Harold's grandmother. And I didn't get to help plan it, but I remember thinking, you know what? They should have read Proverbs 31 over her during her funeral. She was one woman I know. She did it all. She did it all. She was amazing. I have never seen a woman who stepped up to the call to be a godly woman, a godly wife, a godly mother, a godly grandmother, and she pulled it off. She did it. She was a success. But this one was it. Mamma did it. It can be done. And let me just read this to you. It says in Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, an excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She's like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is still night and gives food to her household, gives portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength. She makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good and her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff. Her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. She stretches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Amen, amen. Yes, this is not an impossibility. When you have God, He can take your life and your life can build a legacy just like this. Or what about Sarah? You know, she was listed in Hebrews 11:11 in the Hall of Faith. What about Ruth? What about Rahab? Oh yeah. I mean, her life started in, I think it's interesting that not usually does God just totally over and over and over remind us of our past. As a matter of fact, for us, we get the blessing that He remembers it no more. Praise God. And in Scripture, it's, you know, yes, God records the whole story of people, but you rarely hear Him bring it back up because that's just not how God is. I believe that when He does, He wants to show you something really special. He wants to show you how He can take any one of us and He can build a godly legacy. And Rahab shows us that. Over and over, we find out that she was a town prostitute. She was the prostitute, known prostitute in Jericho. She was the one. But that was not where God left her. She had faith. She believed He was God. She believed in what He was doing with His people. And God called her out of that life and brought her into a life where she could build a legacy. In fact, do you think it's interesting that she was Ruth's great, she was Ruth's grandmother, second mother-in-law. There we go. I'll get it right in a minute. I love Rahab. I love her faith. Again, that goes back to that sincere, contagious faith, that authentic faith that's the real deal. Oh, she was the real deal. What about Bathsheba? She got her second chance, and nowhere else do we see where she falls down again. Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you, she began her story in the Scripture where I didn't really like her. She's not the kind of girl that most of the girls like, is she? Maybe you have been there, and you've had the same exact experience. You think you could get a second chance to build your legacy. Today is your new day. Today's your new beginning. This is your new year. This is your new moment. God's all about new beginnings. And yes, when Bathsheba got her second chance, she was faithful. Oh, praise God. What about Hannah? You know, Hannah was faithful. She was building a legacy, whether she knew it or not, before she even conceived Samuel. She was a woman who had vision. She was a woman who loved God, and she wanted His very best. She wanted nothing more than to be a mother. I do think it's interesting that you don't see women in Scripture crying about having babies. I think our culture's kind of missing it. But you don't see women in Scripture crying about being a mama. You see them crying because they're not a mother, don't you? And here, Hannah, she was faithful before she even became a mother. But look at her legacy. Look at her legacy. It wasn't that she stayed in the depths of depression. And I want to tell you, I think she had a pretty good reason. She had a very good reason for being down and out. I've been there, done that. In fact, I'm going to talk about that this afternoon in the Ultimate Women's Expo, about when life throws you a curveball, things don't go the way you expect. And see, Hannah was like that. Hannah had expected, probably from the time she was a little girl, I did, how about you, to be a mommy. I remember being, couldn't be more than 2 or 3 years old. And I remember dreaming about who my Prince Charming would be and what our children would look like. It was kind of funny. When Matthew was about, I'd say about 13, 14 months old, one of my friends from elementary, I'm talking about we were friends from 6th grade all the way through high school. And of course, I got married a year and a half out of high school, and then I conceived Matthew about 6 months later. So this is, you know, she's been my friend. She was my friend for quite some time. But anyway, I remember the first time that she'd gone away to college and she was back in town, and we ran into each other in town, and she saw Matthew, and she said, "Oh, he's exactly what you wanted." I said, "Well, of course." And she said, No. "Do you remember when we were in 6th grade and you described what your baby would look like, what you wanted your baby to look like? He's just like that." And I said, "I don't remember telling you." And she said, "Oh, yeah, you did." You see, I talked about being a mommy from the time I was a little girl, and my friends knew I dreamed, and I dreamed big. I wanted to be a mom. I wanted it. I wanted to be a wife, and I wanted to be a mom. I wanted to have my own family, my own home. In fact, it's kind of funny. A few years back, my son, about 5 years ago, graduated from high school, and we were going through my journals from the time that I was a little girl. We came across my senior journal where I sketched out my dreams and the things that I wanted out of life. You know, I know a lot of us have a lot of dreams and a lot of things we wish for. And sometimes when we get things, we find that it's not exactly what we thought it was going to be. That was kind of my case. And of course, I was dreaming about being a dental hygienist. God only knows why. For those who are dental hygienists, you say, yeah, Cindy's right on that. I mean, I think about all of my different jobs I had to do, and, oh, man, it was gross. I'm sorry. I love my patients, but it was a nasty job. And so I can't even grasp how that was my dream, but that was one of my dreams. But you know what my biggest dream, the dream I didn't really know would really be a reality or that it would even be possible, it was the dream to be a wife and mother and to have a godly home. You may say, well, Cindy, I've heard you talk before that you grew up from the time you were 2 in church. Why exactly did you think that, you know, it was impossible to have a godly home? Well, it was because of what our home was like growing up. This is not to cast a stone at either of my parents. I love my parents. But my parents had some inconsistencies in what happened on Friday, Saturday, and what happened on Sunday. Or better yet, what happened on Sunday and then what Monday was like. Do you know what I'm saying here? I couldn't grasp how we could have prayer. I remember my preacher talking about praying with your spouse, and I remember thinking, oh, that's a little weird. Oh, that would be really godly, but, oh, that's hard. You know what I'm saying? And I remember my preacher talking about family devotions, and that was not even an option. It wasn't. You know, we had TV, you know, and where would you fit in a devotion? You know, when my dad came in from work, he was tired, and I understand that because I get tired and I just want to jail at night too. I don't typically do it a whole lot because I do have his workaholic and my mother's workaholic stuff all added up exponentially in me. So to me, my idea of fun is kicking back and maybe building a website. So that's not exactly it. But anyway, I remember growing up, I didn't even have any concept of how we could have a godly home. So here, this was an impossible dream for me. I just hoped and prayed that it might could happen for me, but I didn't know how to get there. So I was very much like Hannah. I had that dream from the time I was a little girl. I wanted a godly home. Now, if you look at Hannah and her life, you will see that with Hannah, she was faithful before she even became a mother. And I want to tell you, she had some pretty big curveballs in her life. She had some really big curveballs. For one, her husband had taken another wife, which, that's not the way it's supposed to be. I just want to throw that out. That's messy. You know, God's design is one man, one woman. And we said that's kind of messy with the extra woman. But the other thing is the extra woman, she was having babies. And every year that Hannah would go to praise God and worship God at the temple, I know what she probably was feeling. It's kind of probably about like what I felt. Let me tell you how much we had in common. Because, you see, I conceived Matthew very easy. Conceived Elizabeth really easy, too. And I became afraid that God might give me too many kids. And it ends up, I had my tubes tied, and then God made provision when Elizabeth was 5 years old for my insurance to pay 100% for my reversal. So I had a reversal, and I just thought, well, babies just come easy. And guess what? My first lesson was that babies do not come easy, that God has a plan, and he has their days numbered from the very foundation of the earth. And what a blessing it is when we are blessed with children, but he's not going to give us too many. He's not going to give us what will really and truly drive us crazy. I think we need to change our mindset if we think children are really driving us crazy. We need to change that. Because these days are too short, they pass by too quick. Or better yet, I heard the other day, the days are long, but the years are short. Absolutely. Absolutely. But anyway, I remember being where Hannah was, where I was wanting a child so bad. And I was crying out, and I was at the pit of depression. And I'll talk more about that this afternoon when I speak for the Ultimate Women's Expo. Do be sure to join us for that. But anyway, Hannah, she was faithful. Her legacy was not that she was in the pit of depression. And praise God, my legacy did not stop at the pit. I was afraid. The enemy kept telling me, oh, you messed everything up. You did everything good. You did everything fine for many years, but you bombed here, and this is what they're going to remember. Your kids are probably going to be in a therapist's chair from you being depressed. And, the devil beat up on me and beat up on me and beat up on me. But legacies don't stop there. The good news was when Hannah ran to God and she poured everything out to him and she asked him to give her a vision, to give her a hope and a future, he came through for her. And her legacy was a powerful legacy. In fact, she was the mother of Samuel. And Scripture records that not one thing he asked of God fell to the ground. Not one prayer fell to the ground. God heard him. Now, this is in a day that there was no open revelation from God. You know, even today, we have the Word of God, where God, if you will sit down and talk with him or read his Word, he will talk to you through that Word. There was no Word. There was no revelation at that time. And here we have no open revelation. And Samuel is hearing God. And when Samuel spoke, God heard him. They had a friendship, a relationship. Wow. You talk about a legacy? Samuel mentored King David. Can you imagine the blessing that Hannah had as a mother? But yet also look at the legacy. Hannah ran to God. She sought for him. She wanted for him to be the one she sought him as the one who would make her feel better when she was at her end. And you know what? Her legacy was not depression and sadness. That was the beginning of the story. Her legacy was a woman who believed God, a woman who trusted God, a woman who was faithful as a mother before she even conceived her child. A mom who was faithful as a mother, training up her child, giving him wholly to the Lord. Yes, Hannah, she had a legacy. And Esther, oh, look at Esther. You know, she mothered a whole country. Doesn't even record her necessarily. I don't know. I haven't seen where she had any children. But it shows her being the spiritual mother to an entire country, leading them to fast and to pray, leading them into victory against their enemies and having a major victory. I want to ask you, what do you want? We all build a legacy. We all build a legacy. But the wise woman, she builds her home. She builds her tent. She builds a godly home. She builds eternal things. She is a light in the culture. She's precious, far above rubies. She's building a legacy and building into children and people and building a letter to generations that she'll never see. You may think you will, but your life goes on and on. You never stop being a wife and a mother. Do you know that? A mother especially. A mother, your legacy as a mother goes on and on and on for generations to come. There is real power and real purpose in being a godly woman. So do you want to be a wise woman and build a godly home? Well, here are a few ideas from the Word. How do we build? Well, first of all, we need to get a vision. Proverbs 29:18 says that without a vision, the people perish. You know, it's obvious that if we do not have a vision for what we want, we can't even get the plans. If we were building a house, if we don't have a vision, we cannot build the house. Because you see, without a vision of what we really want, we have no ability to be able to communicate what we will even need for a plan. And it's the same spiritually speaking. If we need to get a vision for what we really want. You see, it's depending on what you really want as to what you will build. Do you want a godly home, a godly legacy? What are you seeing? What is on your heart? What is your heart cry? If you want a godly home, a godly legacy, if you want eternal treasures, then you're called to step up to the call and to build a godly home. Get that vision. Your influence is mighty. Get a glimpse into what you're doing, what you're called to do. Get a glimpse into that godly home. Can you see it? Get a vision. Secondly, find your spot. Find your spot. Your sphere. You know, there are many, many things that we can build in this world. I mean, you know, we can build businesses. I've been building a business, a home business, and thank goodness it fits into my home. But you know, many of us build a lot of things. We build a reputation. We build businesses. We build stuff. We build a career. And yet, God is calling us to find our spot, that sphere, to know the landlines, to know exactly where we are to build. Because you see, if we don't know where we are going to build and we just start building haphazardly anywhere, you know what? We waste a lot of time. We waste a lot of time. You know what? Somewhere there, that legacy, because that is foolish. Our legacy becomes a broken home. Now, I'm going to probably step on some toes here, but let me just give you some practical examples of building in the wrong place. And please take me right here, but when we're looking at building in the right place, where is it? Is it that career? Can I tell you, I have been so blessed to be successful. I've written over 100 books. I've spoken to hundreds of thousands of people. I love speaking, and obviously, you guys, please know, I love this. But the greatest work I will ever do is within my home. I remember when I was a young newlywed, one of my buddies that worked with me gave me the most amazing gift. Her mother had cross-stitched me a picture that said that the greatest work you will ever do will be within the walls of your own home. Now, she gave this to a young girl who at that time had aspirations for being a successful dental hygienist. And I wanted a godly home, but remember what I just mentioned to you guys? That my godly home, my dream for my godly home seemed like an impossible dream. Now, I don't know if you have an impossible dream, but if you think your dream is impossible, you may not think that it deserves your efforts. And see, that's where I was. And, you know, my view was, you know, I was afraid that Harold may leave me one day or that we may divorce because my parents did. And so can you see the thought process that was going on? Yeah, I was building my career. I was building it, and Harold was to tag along. I had no idea how to build a godly home. And I thank God that we had been married maybe 4 months, and all the ladies at our church decided to go to a ladies' retreat. And when we went to this ladies' retreat, I've been in church from the time I was 2, and I was 20 at this time, and I had never heard a lesson from the Bible on the godly home or godly womanhood. I kind of think it's because my preacher was chicken. Actually, I think that probably some of these teachings on godly womanhood are better for us girls because, you know, we don't pull so many punches. The guys, they get afraid of us, I guess. And so, not all, but you know what I mean. I think my preacher, honestly, growing up was scared. He wasn't going to try to fight with the women in the church, much less try to teach something like submission or a gentle and quiet spirit. Are y'all getting my drift here? I think he was just chicken. But in a good way, I think it's okay to be chicken. It's fine. because that's what happened was something that changed my life and the direction of my life forever. You see, as I sat there, I heard for the very first time that I was called to be a helpmeet for my husband. Not a slave and not a doormat, but to be his helper, his personal assistant, his executive assistant. That I was called to be his partner, to be his companion, to be his mighty warrior, catching his six. See, my husband was on the SWAT team. I was to be his point man. I was to be right there alongside of him through the journey of life. It was my place, my sphere. It was my joy. And there's a lot of us that we don't like to hear that because we think that that makes us less than what we are, that it makes us exponentially more. My son is just about to turn 22, and he has been thinking an awful lot about marriage. In fact, he was engaged, and they actually called it off. And one of the reasons, by the way, was because of his conviction that family was the priority. Family, getting married, having children, and having a godly home and a godly legacy. I don't know where he got it. Do y'all know? But anyway, Matthew had that as his vision, and his ex-fiancée, she had a career as her vision. Can I tell you that? Careers, wow. I haven't found one that was worth the cost of family. Our spot, our sphere, our place that God has called us to build is in our home, not in our career. Not in the stuff, not in building a reputation or even building a name. And I'll tell you, Thursday, join me for the Writers Radio Show. I will talk about how to build a rock-solid business. And I talk about building your name. But you see, that name, that business, writing, it's one of the things that we do to bring glory to God. It's not the spot, the sphere. It's not the home. We can't forget the greatest work we'll ever do. And I don't mean the greatest as far as the most difficult. I mean the greatest, the most rewarding, the most amazing, the most eternal work you will ever do is in the walls of your own home. Find your spot. I love how in 1 Corinthians 17, when David went before the Lord and he asked him, he said, God, can I build you a temple? I want to build you a place where you can inhabit, a home for you, a place where we can come and worship you. You see, David thought a lot like some of the rest of us. And then, see, let me just get off the career thing and just talk a little bit about the ministry thing. I love my ministry. I love ministry. I love doing ministry. However, how many of us pour our life into ministry and businesses, the business of ministry and the work of the church? Now, this is not to get anybody to encourage somebody to be lazy. No. That you are, if you know me, you know that I am busy for God. I am productive for God. I want to be faithful to do the things he calls me to do. However, I love what God told David here. When David wanted to build the temple and he wanted to have a place where God could come and inhabit and where the people could come and worship him, do you know what God told David? He told him to build his own home. Have you noticed that? Look at 1 Chronicles 17. He said to build his own home. Why? Because, you see, that is your spot. That's your sphere. It also goes back. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, whenever we read that whole passage, as a matter of fact, sometime, maybe this could be something you could look at a little later in your quiet time. Look at Genesis 2 and mark each of the times it said the garden, the garden. The garden. You may say, well, what does that have to do with it? Well, you see, God is talking to Adam and Eve, and he's given them work by his design, the call of things that they are to do. He's given them their plan for their daytimer. And he actually gives the spot that they are to be putting their efforts into, and it's their garden. Look it up. It's really beautiful. Isaiah 54 says, to enlarge the place of your tent. In other words, your home, your house, your spot. You see, God wants for us to find our spot, our sphere, and that's where we are to settle down. That's where we're to put our efforts. You know, the tendency that we have, I live in the South, and so I have to give you a little Southern life here. But I have watched through the years how that there's always those people that have got to tend to your business in your yard, your land. I remember when we first started building our house, our neighbors literally demanded to know what we were planning to do. Now, we happen to live on land that is, I'm talking about in the middle of the country. This is, we've got 5 acres and way out of town, actually in between all the towns that are here. And they wanted to know our business. We were kind of taken back. I guess we grew up, and I know that, you know, my mama planted a new rose bush. The neighbors came to check it out and to see what it was going to be like and asked her all the questions of what kind of roses that were going to bloom. They wanted to see the picture on the little tab. You know what I'm saying? It was like that in South Mississippi. But I didn't really expect that when we built our house that people would want to so be in our business. They wanted to know what materials we were building with. I'm so serious. They were nosy, 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 nosy. They wanted to know how long it was going to take. They wanted to know all of our plans. I mean, and I know this was supposed to be friendly, but you know what? They wanted to also tell us how to do it because we were young at that time. We built 14 years ago, and, you know, we're just spring chicken now, but anyway, they wanted to know all of the details, and they wanted to get in and tell us how to do things. You know, it kind of reminds me that, you know, sometimes it's easier to tend to somebody else's business and to help somebody else know how to build their home, or it's easier to spout off a lot of things to do and yet living it out. Wow. You know, if we're tending to everything else, whether it be church or whether it be the work, whether it be activities, whether it be support groups, whether it be whatever, if we're tending to all of those things and not building in our spot, pouring our best efforts into our spot, you know what, we're going to come up empty. We're going to come up with a lot of stuff that's just not going to make it eternally. We're going to be doing a lot of things that we were not really called to do. Do you know what I'm saying? So find your spot. The greatest work you will ever do will be within the walls of your own home. After you find your spot, you don't just start building. The next thing you do is you do the dirt work. You know, we built this house that we live in now. We built it, I mean, we built the first part when Matthew was, I guess, he was 8 years old and Elizabeth was 5. And Harold and Matthew would work on Harold's off days, or we would all work on Harold's off days, and we would do it bit by bit by bit. We love, love, love our house. And when Harold was about to retire, my business was in town, and he wanted to really kind of put everything here on the land and not have all the going and going. And so we ended up adding on, and we added on a whole nother, actually more than what we had the first bit, and we built that part. No, I guess Matthew was about 16 at that time, or maybe 15 or 16. And so you know what surprised me with the build? What surprised me with the build both times was the amount of dirt work that had to be done. It was really rather interesting because Harold has the numbers of how many tons of dirt had to be brought in just to make everything level, just to get everything set and steady to build upon. In fact, he had to actually invest in a bobcat that it saved him more money to buy a bobcat because there was so much dirt work to be done, that it saved him money to buy it rather than to hire somebody to do the work or to rent a machine. And we end up having a funny story about how that later, after he retired, he was trying to look at what to do to be able to make money as a business at home. And he began to look at what was in his hand and what he owned, what he could do. And he got to thinking back over when we built the house, how that it was very impossible to get somebody to come in and do the the work for something that was a smaller job. Although our job was hardly small, it still was almost impossible to get somebody to come in and do that work. So he began a bobcat business where he did any kind of work that people needed. Small jobs were no problem. He did driveways. He did foundation, you know, building up the foundation or the area where a person was going to build a house. He removed the roots that from trees that, of course, you can't have that where you're going to be building. He removed rubbish. He just did all of those things. And, you know, when we got to looking at the process of building a house, the dirt work was big. In fact, for us, it was about a third of the budget that we had for the entire house. That's a lot. I mean, we've got a 3,500 square foot house. So if you can imagine the cost on that house, a third of it still went into the foundation and the dirt work. That work was tremendous. Of course, we live on a mountain. We didn't buy, you know, a house on a piece of flat land, we didn't buy a piece of land that was flat. We live on a mountain, which was our dream. We live on Huckleberry Hill. Is that cute or what? You think that's cute? When we got married, we lived on Lover's Lane. Is that cute? Information that somebody might need to know. Don't ask me why, but anyway. Oh, we have silly stories. But anyway, the dirt work. You know what? In our godly home, and when we're building our home, we need to be very aware that it's going to take an awful lot of work, an awful lot of investment to get the dirt work done to be able to build. And you may have been trying to build a legacy. You may have been trying to build a godly home for many years, and you've wondered what the problem really was. Why things were just not getting there. We have got to do the dirt work first. And today may be a day where we just get back to the basics and we do the dirt work, that we clean up some of the mess that is right in our spot. You know, you may have brought some stuff into your home. And just like I did, I brought a lot of stuff into our marriage. I brought a lot of beliefs. I brought a lot of opinions. I brought a lot of ways that comes straight from a home that was a broken home. For my godly home, I had to turn from those ways and choose to be a wise woman who would build my home. That meant that I had to get busy doing the dirt work. And it wasn't easy. It was tremendously difficult. And there were times we had to have people help me, come in and help me to do the work that was tough. There were times where I had to just stick it out and keep on doing the mundane. But you know what? The beauty of the home is worth it. So second thing, when you're building a legacy, do the dirt work. Next, get the plan. Get the plan. Oh, there's a plan. It's right there in the Word of God. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for our homes. He has a vested interest in making us a success. And if we will go by his plan, and I'm talking about when the going gets tough, if that will be our way that we do it, it will always be a success. Next week, we're going to be welcoming my Kevin Bevel from Fireproof, the movie. They are actually going to be launching the movie and DVD next week, and I'm so excited. But let me tell you what you can do this week. If you do not have the Love Dare, the book, the Love Dare, grab it. It's a book that they have written that is based on 1 Corinthians 13. Now, that brings me back to the plan. Do you know that I think that most marriages, in fact, if there were something we could do at divorce court, to say, okay, I want you just to try for 40 days to live out 1 Corinthians 13. And if we would truly do what 1 Corinthians 13 says, I believe that we would see a whole different story written in many, many families. I believe we would have a whole different outcome. As a matter of fact, when Harold and I are misfiring and I'm aggravated with him, you know, God has taken me time and time again back to 1 Corinthians 13 to just test and see if I'm really loving Harold or if I've moved back into my selfishness, my way, my preferences, my will. Let me just read 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm going to talk about it as I go through it. But it says that love is patient. Ooh, that kind of slaughters me because, you know, typically whenever we have a problem, I'm blowing up and I'm blowing up quick because I didn't have something go the way I wanted it to go. Or he said something that bothered me. You know what I mean? Love is patient. Love is kind. Uh-oh, that means I can't be ugly. Can't stomp around. Can't cook loud. Well, maybe I could cook loud if he's not here. Just kidding. Just kidding. But love is kind. I mean, I love how the message says it cares more for others than for self. Ouch. It is not jealous. You know, I've had times where we've misfired, and I was simply jealous that he could go out and get away from the house some, and that I couldn't. Do you know what I mean? Love does not brag. It's not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. Ouch. You know, all I have to think about is how I throw a fit, and yeah, I throw fits. I'm being honest here, you guys. All I have to think about is that fit, and it's definitely not what I would consider becoming behavior. It does not seek its own. I mean, that means that when we have a problem, I'm not seeking after what I want or my own things, my own ideas, my own agendas, but I'm seeking after Harold's agendas, what he would want, what he likes, what he prefers. Ouch. It's not provoked. Oh, yeah, that means that I don't get that instant, what did you just say? What did you just say to me? What did you do? Do you know what I mean? It does not take into account a wrong suffered. Uh-oh. And how many times do I get mad about something that I've had to suffer through, that I have gotten angry because I had to, you talk to me that way? How dare you? Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, maybe nobody else does this. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness. In fact, you know, it doesn't get happy when it gets its way, when it pushes and someone gives in to its way. Ugh. But it rejoices with the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Oh, yeah. Love never fails. I love it in the message. Listen to it in the message. It's just all over you. I mean, you know, if you're having a fight with your spouse, and you think about 1 Corinthians 13, I think it can fix some things. What do you think? It says that love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love does not want what it does not have. Love does not strut. It does not have a swelled head. It does not force itself on others. It isn't always me first. It doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Uh-oh. It doesn't revel when others grovel. It takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. It puts up with anything. Trust God always. Always look for the best. Never looks back. But it keeps on going to the end. Love never dies. You know, that's just one plan for handling the struggles that we have within our marriage. But the Bible is loaded with the plan for family life, for a family business, for homeschooling, for ministry, for life, for godly womanhood, for godly manhood. Get the plan by the master designer. He is so faithful to teach us how we are to live a faithful life. If we will just get back to his plans, if we will just listen to his plan. Also, use the right material, right materials. Now, let me just mention that, you know, for us when we were building our house, I really think that it taught me so much about life, about the importance that what we were putting into this house, we were going to be living with. Right now, we've been here. Ooh, this is now 14 years in this house. And you know what? The very things that we put into this house, what we invested in, those things are what we live with day to day. you know, for example, I remember when we were doing the sheetrock, it was just a little extra to put a cute little design on the ceiling. But you know what? I've loved that for 14 years. It's been precious to me. I love it. I love it. We have not had to touch it since then. We also, what we did for upstairs, my husband wanted a, he loves the real rustic cabin feel to it. Well, upstairs he used real pine lumber for the ceiling, and oh, it's just absolutely gorgeous. And even when we built the extra part of the house, he actually put cedar on the ceiling in there, in our bedroom. It's amazing. You know what? It was a lot of extra investment. It went beyond the typical stuff that you just buy and you just get it to, you just do it. But you know what? What we invested is what we live with. And you know, when we're building a godly home, what we invest into our home is exactly what we're going to be getting. Do you know that? If we're too busy when the kids are little, don't be surprised when they get older and they're too busy. Because, you see, they're learning what we live. They learn what they live. And when we're building a godly home, a godly legacy, we need to make sure that we invest in what we want to have as a return, what we want to live with for the rest of our lives in eternity. You know, there were a few priorities for me, the things that I wanted to see, and these were things I invested everything I had into. I wanted for my family to have a priority for family. So you know what that meant? That meant that I had to live investing into my family. It had to be my priority. And that started with my husband. My son and I just had a conversation about this yesterday. We were talking about how that so many young ladies in this day and time, and of course he's looking at, you know, getting married, and he said so many young ladies and so many young men that are brought up and trained up, they don't have a priority for marriage. They have a priority for career. They have a priority for education. But they don't have a priority for family. And, of course, now right now he's getting his education. He's in the military, and he's in language school right now. And he is learning, and all of this is working towards his credits for college, and he's doing that. But you know what? He's ever mindful that he's preparing for a family. You know, his priority, number one priority, is not the stuff in life. It's not money. It's not what the world has to offer. But his priority has become family. He's living for the day that he finds that person that is perfect for his to be his wife, the one who's called and who's created to be his helper, the one that has the same vision as him, who can build a godly home and a godly legacy. You know what? It would never have been a priority for him if he had not seen it first at home. You know, he told me something yesterday that just blew me away, and it blessed me, especially teaching this today. But he told me, he said, you know, most kids today just live in homes where they're existing. Everything's about work and school and stuff. And he said, you know, all along, I saw your priority was Dad. You showed me from the time I was a little boy, you showed me from the time I was a little bitty boy that Dad was your priority, that building a godly legacy with him was the number one thing. And he said, you know, even as a child, I was learning from you. I was growing. I was learning the priority of marriage. Because, you see, I know when they were little, it was very demanding. It was very tough. And I can't say I always did it perfect. But it was so tough and so demanding to be a mommy that many times, by the time I was done with the day, I was wiped out and there was not very much more to go around. And yet, God moved on my heart all through those years that, you know what, Cindy, if it takes taking a nap, you need to be fresh so you can have time with Harold. Cindy, if it means you don't do something for a whole season of time because you can't balance outside things and the business and homeschooling and mothering and still be what you need to be as a wife, you have to let some stuff go. You see, we have to invest in the right materials. You know, we have to be careful what we put into our home, our godly home. It needs to be building a godly home. We need to make sure that what we're putting into it is exactly the legacy we want back. You know, if we're putting a lot of our feelings and our preferences and our wishes, our whims, our way, you know what? We're going to have a legacy from that too. It may not be what we want. What do we want? You know, I wanted for my family to always, my success, my idea of success was if my children embraced being a husband, a wife, a parent, and if they were addicted to God. That was my idea of success. We homeschooled our kids from the time for 17 years, and we still, I think I'm still teaching and learning. I think this is a never-ending job. But all through the years, as I've taught my children, the number one priority was not the academics. That came. Because, you see, in Matthew 6:33, we read that if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that means the kingdom of God means God's way of doing things. If you will seek God's way of doing things and his righteousness, that means his righteousness, meaning that he wants us surrendered to him, he wants us living for him, but he covers us by the blood. I mean, it's not up to us to be perfect. Oh, praise God, it's not. It's not about being perfect. It's about seeking God, seeking his way of doing things, seeking his righteousness. And all these things are added unto us. Yes, all the stuff is added. You know, we have blessings, lavish blessings. Yes, the children get it, and they get educated, and they grow up, and they are successful. Yes. We can have all those things. We can have money and stuff. But you know what? If that is where we're putting our investment of our time and our efforts and our focus, and if it's on money and stuff and things the world has to offer, we're going to come up empty, and we're going to come up with a house that is in shambles. So if you're the wise woman will build her home. She will use the right materials. She's going to invest the very best into her home. Also, the next thing the wise woman does is she builds God's way. Oh, I love Matthew 11:28-30. It talks about if you're tired and you're weary, come to God. Get his yoke, his way. See, his way brings us rest. His way brings us peace. His way gives us a quiet spirit. We know we have a quiet confidence that what we're doing is really going to matter. And again, going back to what I said earlier, the greatest work you'll ever do is within your home. Yes, that's what really matters. You know, these days go by so quick. You know, I think that it was interesting beginning a new year because last year was rather difficult in so many different ways. I was going through that. I love Barb Shelton. I think describes it best as disequilibration. It's like when you have that your washer going and it kind of gets the load gets real heavy on one side and it does that bouncing around in there. Well, that's what we're talking about. And you know, life was kind of a little like that. You know, I seriously had through the years looked forward to the legacy I was building and getting to see my children shot forth into the culture. But that's easier said than done. I really grieved and I allowed myself to grieve that my kids were growing up and that everything was changing. You see, my son joined the military and he left January 3rd for boot camp. And my daughter graduated all in 1 year. My son turned 21, my daughter turned 18, and guess what? At the end of the year, I had to get glasses. And somebody's laughing. Please laugh with me because that's all I can say about it. The glasses, you know what my diagnosis was? Presbyopia. Old, wore out. Okay, are y'all getting this with me? You know, when we come to this season, this is a new season. I know it's not over. However, you know what? That transition, oh, man, it was tough because I had to change from an identity, a pace that I knew, a way that I knew. And And I had to change into the new season, and I love it now. I'm really getting used to this. This is really nice because now I can do so many of the things that God put on my heart from the time I was a little girl that I just didn't have time for whenever I was in the other season. So I am enjoying it, but let me just mention to you that the only way you can have that satisfaction at this season is if you know you've beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you can lay your head on your pillow and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you did what was most important. You did what was needful. We need that during every season of our life. I don't know what season you're in, but we need to do what is needful. We need to do it God's way. God's way. His season, His timing. We need to look for the way He says to do things. You know what? He's not going to tell us to forsake being a mommy during that small season of being a mommy to pursue whatever. Now, we can balance things. I've balanced business. I've balanced working while being a mommy. It was tough. It demanded a lot. It meant I was tired a lot. I'm not saying that. That's not where I'm going with this. What I'm saying is, that, you know, we can miss the most important by carrying loads that are not ours to carry during these seasons. We need to embrace the season that we're in. We need to do it God's way. It works. It works. You know, when I look at this season would not be the same if we had not done it God's way in the teen years. You know, the teen years for my kids, by the way, the way we did that began back when they were little. But anyway, in the teen years, we made some tough choices. We had rules that in today's culture, most kids don't have the security of rules. And I say security of rules because that's the way a wise woman builds her home. It's easy to let things go in the teen years because you don't want the trouble. You don't want the conflict. You don't want the problem. And yet, I have several different times I had to make tough choices during those teen years to say, no, that's not the way we do it. And it meant my kids didn't like me for a day or two, you know, and sometimes for more than that. I told them I was fine with that, you know, they'd like me later when they had kids and they saw how tough this job was. You know something? Those years I made choices. For example, I guess it was the last couple of years of Matthew's high school, all the way up until Elizabeth graduated, I took no speaking engagements outside of my home area. Now, I spoke some in Huntsville for a friend because I always look for an excuse to go to Huntsville. But even like the last year, I didn't speak anywhere outside of my house last year because God, He told me to put my efforts into my home. That was the focus for the year. And even this year, I'm praying about some opportunities that I have, and I'm not sure I'm going to do it or not. I kind of lean towards not, because at this season, I don't have very much longer of Elizabeth being at home, and I know how fast this goes. And you know what? If we're carrying a load of trying to do things, even if they're good things in the wrong season, you know, I happen to know that there's a big, big season coming where my children are going to be busy being parents and spouses, and I'm going to have a lot of time. And you know what? Carrying that load when the kids were little would have been ridiculous. Now, let me just say this, too, real quick. When they were real little, it was easy for me to travel and speak and teach. It was very easy for me to do that because we used it as field trips and as learning experiences, and we could carry books on the road and we could study. But when it came to the teen years, we were on the countdown to the kids growing up, and they wanted to be involved in things locally and to be able to work and be able to do things with church and to do ministry things. You know what? To try to carry the traveling load, I would have missed some of the most important years of their life because they would have had to stay back home, and I would have had to go by myself, and it would have been a splintered family. Do you see what I'm saying here? I'm not one to put condemnation on anybody, but you know what? Those years when the babies are babies, you don't get that back. And boy, you'll miss it. these years right now with me and Harold, I happen to be very aware that the next season after this, many of my friends who are in that season are widowed and alone. And I happen to know that these are not days I'm willing to throw away on stuff. I want to make sure that I'm building my home God's way, that I'm doing each step, each season, each thing like he tells me to do. Because, you see, the wise woman builds her home. The foolish one tears it down with her own hands. I don't think any woman does that intentionally. I just believe that many times we get to build in the way of the world. We get to build in like the people at church build. We get to build in like our friends build. We get to build in like our mom and daddy built their homes. And you know what? It's disaster waiting. The only way to build a godly home, to build a godly legacy, is to build God's way. And then build a home. Build a home. That's our next point. What am I meaning? I mean, I'm not talking about the house. Yes, we did build a house when we built our house. But that's not what I'm talking about. You know, I had a home when I had my little cute travel trailer. We got a little camper, and, I think it was like 14 feet, and we lived in that for a year and a half while Harold was in Trooper Academy and while we were building this house. In fact, that was another thing my son said yesterday that was very interesting. He said, you know, Mom, I saw your priority for family because you packed up everything that meant anything to you, all your stuff, and you put it in a storage building, and you took the things that we just needed to get by, and you followed Dad to Trooper Academy. A woman's got to be willing to follow where her husband leads. Where he goes, I will go. I made that commitment the day that I was at that altar to build a home with him. A home. That means a shelter, a growing ground, our spot. You know, our spot has not necessarily been a house. Our spot at times was a camper or an apartment or a rental house. You know what? All of them were our homes. People could come in and they knew it was our home because there was something that was there. You see, we have to build a home, a place where people feel that there is a shelter from the world, a place where children are welcomed and where family is a priority, where memories are made. Oh, this culture will fight you with everything it's got to keep you from building your home. That's what the enemy wants. He wants to stop you from building the home. He knows. He will do anything to distract you, anything he can to thwart you. But, beloved friends, build a home. Build a shelter, a growing ground. Also, fill your home with good things. You know, it's not enough to have a house. But eventually, there's that day where you move in and you make it yours. You know, I have to tell you a little story about me. You have to know that from the time that Harold and I were engaged, I started cross-stitching. And my whole thing, I wanted, when we moved into our first house or our apartment, I wanted to be able to have things that were us, that were our things. I even had friends, one of my best friends, she was doing a lot of woodworking, and I remember getting my gifts at my wedding shower, and she had made me little shelves, little country shelves, because we were both into really cute country looks, and she made that. You know what? Those things have followed me for 24 years, and not long ago, we took everything down, put everything in boxes so that we could remodel the living and dining area of our house. Once we added on the other part, we decided to remodel this part. And by the time that we figured out that by the time certain parts get remodeled, the other parts need to be remodeled again. So this is like a forever job, which, by the way, should be another point. But anyway, whenever we took everything down, when we got everything painted the new color, we painted it this beautiful color that's called oatmeal. And I love it. I love it. I love it. I mean, the other color was really kind of getting dingy and old. Well, then it was obvious that it was from 14 years ago. But anyway, when we painted the new walls, everything looked so clean and so neat. I said, I just want to leave it like this for just a little while. And so I hung my curtains and did a few things, but I really did not put all my decorations back up. I just wanted to just enjoy the clean for a bit. And it ended up months went by, and the kids, finally, they were like, are you going to put all of our pictures back up and our stuff back up, Mama? It doesn't look like home. Well, that's what I'm talking about. You know what? Our homes, and it's more than just the walls. It's more than just the rooms. But it's what we fill it with. It's what we fill it with. This is what builds a legacy. You know, just like in our house, we have that certain old sewing machine that was Harold's grandmother's. Or we have that dining room set that we got back when Matthew was 2 years old. Or on and on and on. Do you know what I'm saying? Those pictures, the shelves, the doilies, all the pretty things. All those things make our home our home. I mean, when you come in, if you've been around me if I were to take all these things and put them somewhere else, you'd still know that's my home, my spot. In fact, my mother recently sold this big piece of property that they had had. They had been traveling like 45 minutes every day one way to go to work. And so she found the house that she fell in love with, and she moved. And it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of land. But you know what? When we walked in her house, I knew that was my mama's house. It was so strange. But do you know what? It was a totally different house, totally different floor plan. But when I walked in that house, I knew that was my mother's house. Why? Because she filled it with her good stuff. She filled it with her things. You know, Proverbs 24, verses 3 through 4. Let me turn there and read that for you. I love it, I love it, I love it. This is a good passage. That's Proverbs 24. I think my Bible is playing musical Bibles with me now that I can see. there we go. Okay, Proverbs 24, verses 3 through 4. It says, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. The Message says, it takes wisdom to build a house and understanding to set it on a firm foundation. It takes knowledge to furnish its rooms with fine furniture and beautiful draperies. You know what? It takes more than just building a house, building a home. We've got to fill it with good things. What are some of the good things? Well, the wise woman will fill it with good things like a passion and love for God. You know, that's first, according to Deuteronomy 6, going to first have to start by being in our heart and on our heart and then passing it along all along the way. You can't put a bunch of Bible verses on the wall and the kids just catch it. Now, they will catch a lot, don't get me wrong, but we want to fill our home with a passion and a love for God. We want to fill it with spiritual training, discipleship. We want to fill it with deep, real relationships, relationships that are for all of life. We want to fill it with the preciousness of sharing life together, our growth, our victories, our blessings, God's provision, our sorrows, yes, being real. That's a real authentic faith, by the way. Our sorrows, our struggles, our pain, our heartache, our answers to prayer. We need to fill it with ministry, a commitment to ministry. I mean, that showing our children that there's more than just you. Bringing people into our home, welcoming people in our home, putting those within our home as our priorities, as the ones that we give our very best to. We want to fill our home with purpose. I mean, to be a purpose-driven family, with encouragement, with tradition and meals, with ministry, with family stories, with family hobbies, with memories and joy, love. I'm talking about unconditional love. You know what? You don't really love unconditionally unless you have that test, that 1 Corinthians 13 test that you're passing. Were you thinking about them before you? Were you not easily upset? Where you're not harboring ill feelings. Oh yeah. Where it's a them thing, not a you thing. We fill it with memories. I'm talking about sweet, sweet memories. You know what? Memories are not just for the holidays. Memories are for all year long. Where we fill it with love and joy, laughter. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. As a matter of fact, about 10 years ago, Harold and I made a purpose. We made a commitment that as a family, we wanted every year to laugh more, more and more. You know, we've learned to laugh at ourselves. We've learned to laugh at our circumstances. And as a matter of fact, it's best if you can laugh at the worst of circumstances. Watch what happens. The devil flees. He gets so confused, he has to run the other way. We want a home filled with laughter where the devil is not welcome here. We want a home filled with fun and filled with knowledge so we can learn together, to where our history is a history where we are learning things together, we're growing together, we're keeping on learning. In fact, this year, I kind of laughed. I talked to you about homeschooling. We homeschooled for 17 years, and now both my kids are graduated. But you know what? Now the tables turn. This past year, Matthew assigned me a book to read. And that book was on special forces. He wanted me to know all about special forces, so I was assigned the book to read. Actually, I loved it, and he was kind of surprised, but the way I took it was not really. I mean, I got to know what he was doing, and I think that we are very wise as women when we become students of our husbands and when we become students of our children, and especially when they move into adulthood. That's a fun thing, is to become a student of our children. But anyway, I enjoyed that part of it. But you know what? As I was reading that book, I thought, this is like what God said in Joshua chapter 1. And this is just like what God told us to do in 1 Corinthians 10. You know, I just got so excited. He laughed. He thought this was so funny. I told him, I said, this is just like spiritually how we're spiritual warriors. And he just loved it. And so anyway, he did a class back in the fall, a course in the fall, it's called SEER, where he did escape and evasion and resistance, and basically he became like a POW, a prisoner of war. And when he came out of that, the first thing he said was, Mom, I think I know what we need to study. And it cracked me up. Anybody who knows Matthew knows that all along, when he wanted to study Glock auto pistols, Mom studied all about Glock auto pistols. Every paper he wrote, every copy work selection, he would, all of his research, all of that would be on Glocks. And so as his homeschool teacher, I had to study Glocks. So anyway, we kind of laughed because he said, we need to study prisoners of war. He said that one of the guys that had trained him had been a prisoner of war from Vietnam, and that he told him that one of the things he had studied was all the different books that talked about being a prisoner of war. And he said, that will help you with your training. That will help you with your career. And so Matthew came home immediately telling me, hey, we have to start looking up and doing this. We'll read them together. And I laughed because I thought that was so fun. But you see, we learn together, and it never stops. Oh, and we enjoy life. Oh, yes. Our home is filled with life. Ecclesiastes 8:15 says, I commend the enjoyment of life because nothing is better for a man under the sun than to eat and drink and be glad. Then joy will accompany him in his work all the days of his life. All the days of the life that God has given him under the sun. Yes, to enjoy life. Fill your home with life. Well, my dear friends, we are building a legacy. Does that sound too deep? No, it's our reality. We all build legacies. What do you want? You know, look at Eve. Do you think she knew she was tearing down our home with her own hands when she made that one decision to take the fruit? Do you think Rachel and Leah knew what they were doing within their home when they chose strife instead of unity? Do you think Rebecca had any idea of what would happen in the life of her home, of her children and their children, when she was so divisive and would not submit and would not trust her husband, trust God to deal with her husband? Do you think Jezebel had any clue of what her legacy would really be, the real ramifications. She thought she had it all. She was ruling the world, wasn't she? Well, so she thought. But all the things of the world are nothing. Nothing when it comes down to your legacy, is it? No. What do you want? Do you want, like me, to be like Lois and Eunice? I do. Man, I want my children to have that sincere, passionate, real faith. I want them to be authentic Christians. And you know what? It begins here with me, being authentic. It doesn't mean I teach them and I don't live it out. It means I live it out today. It means that if I want that legacy that the Proverbs 31 woman had, where her husband was respected, that her family was cared for, that the people, that her children rose up and called her blessed. If I want that as my legacy, you know what? It means I'm going to have to invest. It means I'm going to have to stay up some extra hours. It means I'm going to have to get up a little earlier. But it means that I have to step up to the call and be the wise woman who builds, doesn't it? You want that legacy like Sarah had? Oh, yeah, she was named in the Hall of Faith. I want to be named in that Hall of Faith in heaven. I want to be able to stand there proud with all of those who went before us. Sarah, Ruth, Rahab. I want to be there proud being a woman of faith. A woman who built a family of faith. I want to be like Bathsheba. I've got my second chance. I want to live it out. I want to be a good mother. I want to be a godly wife. I want that to be my legacy. Oh, yeah. I want to be like Hannah. Oh, yeah. I want children that when they pray, it shakes heaven and it got God's ear. I want to be like Esther. Esther, who stood firm. Regardless of the cost, she stood firm. And mothered a whole country. You know, my dear friends, we build a legacy. So today, can I ask you, what about you? Are you building a legacy? What is your legacy? Is it what you want? Is it what you have lived for? Well, if it is, let me just read to you what your promise is. If you step up to the call to build a godly legacy, let me read to you what your promise is. I love it. It actually goes back to Proverbs 31. Let me read this to you. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also. He praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Yes, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for today, and I thank you for this message. I thank you for this curveball, God, and I pray that you are glorified and magnified through this curveball. Lord, scheduling ain't nothing but a thing, and Lord, I just pray that you already anoint next week's Mom-to-Mom radio show, where Kevin Bevel will be joining us. I pray that you give him a special word this week. And, Lord, even that you give me a special word, that we will hear you so that we can have a show next week that will be above and beyond anything that we could ever ask or imagine. And Lord, I thank you for what they are doing. I pray you bless them this week as they prepare for the launch of the DVD for Fireproof. God, I thank you so much that even when curveballs come, you show us what we are to do. And God, I thank you for this message. I thank you for teaching us today. God, help us to take this to heart. And Lord, when choices come our way, Lord, show us which way we are to go. Show us what we are to say, what we are to do. Give us a quiet confidence, a quiet trust, so that we can be rested and build solid, godly homes. God, Help the dear friend that's here today that maybe says, you know, Cindy, that sounds to me like an impossible dream. God, show them that nothing's impossible with you, that you have a vested interest. You want godly homes. You want them to be a picture to the culture, but you also want them to be, build a legacy, to build a godly seed. And so, God, today we just lift ourselves up and surrender to you, asking you, Lord, to teach us, to show us, to help us to walk in your spirit. And, Lord, we just dedicate our homes to you. Show us how to be godly mothers. Give us your plan. Show us where to put our investments. And God, we will obey. We will follow you. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, Cheeky Chicks, guess what? We're not over. We can open the lines right now if you want to call in and talk. We have open lines right now, and you can call in at 347-215-7321. If you've got a question, a comment, a shout-out, an idea, jump in and call in. Just call in. Let me put you on the air. I love that you guys are joining me. I love this format. I'm so thankful for Blog Talk Radio and for them being our hosts of our online show. I love, love, love this. And Valerie says she just walked in the room and caught her 10-year-old daughter praying with me. How precious. Angela, I'm so glad. She said, amen, this was awesome, Cindy. It's just what I needed. You know what? God can take plans and he can change them to have his will, and I'm so thankful. You know, you guys, I appreciate you guys tuning in, and and you know what? I love Valerie's little girl. Hey there, what is her name, Valerie? How fun. I love it. Too much fun. I see Lucy Patissi's in here. Oh, love Lucia Claiborne. Sarah. Well, Sarah, thank you for joining us today. I'm so glad you joined us. You know what? You have an opportunity that even most of us old gals don't get. You can build your home and your legacy now at 10 forever. I mean, goodness, I wish I could go back to 10, but oh, wow. You know, you are truly a wise woman in seeking God and wanting to hear his teaching. So thank you. I'm glad you're here. And I love your name, Sarah. It's beautiful. Well, you guys, I guess if nobody's going to call and talk to me, why? Woe is me. Oh, she's turning three shades of red. I'm not meaning to embarrass you, sweetie. I promise. I've got a bad way of doing that, don't I? I figure if I've got to be up at the podium, everybody else ought to be. Okay. Oh, she's sweet. Well, I'm glad she joined us. Does anybody want to be a taker on calling in? The number's 347-215-7321. And you can call. You can call me. Oh, I love it. Just to give you a heads up on what we're doing the rest of this week, because I do have I do have a lot going on. This afternoon at 1 here at Blog Talk Radio, the Ultimate Women's Expo. I'll get the right word in a minute. The Ultimate Women's Expo will be recording again, and I'm going to be teaching on what to do when life throws you a curveball. I'm excited about that topic. I'm telling you, I'm ready to overflow on that one. As a matter of fact, some of it came out, you could tell, at the beginning of this session today here for the show, because I just, I'm so filled on that one. But also this afternoon, we have Erica Johns that will be at the Ultimate Women's Expo. She's going to be speaking on Let's Get Healthy. She's a neat treasure. As a matter of fact, if you've got a ticket to the Ultimate Women's Expo, guess what? She's giving her Supermom's salad book away as a gift, and she's got a bunch of other goodies. I've been peeking at some of the goodies that people are giving in, and oh, my heavens, we've got the best gifts ever for this seminar, for the Ultimate Women's Expo. If you aren't familiar with it, you can grab a ticket at, let me type it in. You can grab a ticket at, how about I copy and paste it in. That's faster. Oh, goodness. You know what? When all else fails, use technology. Here we go. There's where you go to grab a ticket, And then also, let me give you the direct link into our show for the Ultimate Women's Expo here at Blog Talk Radio, because you will definitely want to join us. Erica's going to be talking this afternoon on the topic of let's get healthy, and you're going to love that. She's going to give you some ideas in case you've already been like me and you've blown a couple of resolutions for your health. It's okay, because guess what? She's going to help us to know how to stick to our resolutions and how to really get healthy this year. Then tonight, let me tell you, we're having a PJ party. As a matter of fact, I've already got grub for my house ready for tonight so that I can be in my robe and my PJs and I can curl up with Tammy Cardwell. Tammy is one of my dearest friends in the whole world. She and I go back ages and ages, and she is going to talk about the topic of getting to know him, meaning getting to know God. But it's more than that. She's going to talk about how to weather the storms of life. And you guys, it's a definite must. If you can squeeze in some time to just tune in. Valerie said that get healthy, she decorates cakes. Oh, Valerie, I wish you were close by with me. I would just go off the deep end with you. And maybe we need a topic of just get fat. Let's make cakes. Okay, I'm sorry. I totally got off topic there. But anyway, we will have Tammy just, if you know Tammy, she takes off the mask. I don't think Tammy ever wears mask, actually, but she takes off the Supergirl cape and she lets it fall out. She'll tell you the struggle she's had and as being a wife and mom, and they just went through literally a storm of life with the hurricanes last year where they lost their home, and she knows how to go through tough times and how to keep on smiling. And you guys, smiling inside out, you're going to love it. So make plans to have our pajama party tonight at Ultimate Women's Expo. In the morning, I'll be teaching there on Get Connected, and then Drew Lynn Jeffcoat is going to be joining us at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time tomorrow at the Ultimate Women's Expo to teach on the topic of Counted as Lost, Focusing on Christ. And Kathy Grubb, if you missed her last week, she has to wait till 8 p.m. Central to be able to have all of her little ones in bed. I think she's got 5 kids. And so she puts them to bed, and then she teaches. And you talk about a woman balance and things. She's so Proverbs 31. Anyway, maybe she'll hear me say that, but she is. But she's going to teach tomorrow night at 8 on Motivating Toddlers or Discovering Your Inner Mary Poppins. I love it. At 10 a.m. Thursday, we will be at the Writers Radio Show here at Blog Talk Network. And I'm going to have a show that we will open the lines, we'll answer questions. But before that, I will give a lesson similar to what I did today here. And we will just have a really writer-to-writer show. So if you are a writer, you want to be a writer, you dream of it, maybe you may even think, oh, Cindy, it wouldn't do me any good. Hey, you need to tune into those shows because it will do you good. And I will not settle for less than seeing you be a success. So anyway, that's 10 a.m. Thursday. And then Molly Everett will be at the Ultimate Women's Expo at 12 on Thursday. And then Lori Flynn will be teaching – oh, I'm sorry, Molly will be teaching on contentment. And then Lori Flynn will wrap up this week on Thursday at 3 p.m. teaching on productivity and procrastination. We've got a full week. Of course, Friday I have some meetings and stuff, and we're gearing up for next week, which is Ultimate Women's Expo. And, of course, we'll be back next week here at Mom to Mom Radio Show. We will have Kevin Bevel from Fireproof. He will be here next week, and he and I are going to be talking about Fireproof in your marriage. You're going to love him. In case you're wondering who he is, if you've seen Fireproof, he was Caleb's best friend, the other fireman, who I thought was an amazing character. He was rock solid. I really believe his faith was really contagious for Caleb, because if you'll notice, when Caleb had a struggle, that was where he ran. And so that character will be joining us, that character, Kevin, who played that character, will be joining us next week. And I'm going to pick his brain about his story and his secrets to his marriage. And we're going to talk about how to fireproof our marriages. So you guys make plans to definitely join us and bring a friend next week to Mom to Mom Radio Show. Well, anyway, you guys, I hope you have a great day. And you guys, I pray that today is a huge blessing for you as you build your home. And you guys have a great day. I'll see you later. And by the way, don't forget, join me at Ultimate Women's Expo later today. I'll talk to you later. Bye.